Monday, February 15, 2016. This is President's Day. First of all, I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the talent and the opportunity to do this show. This is the second part of the NBA All-Star Break, and we're going to talk about the Western Conference today. They also got to talk about the All-Star Break. We got to say a little bit about President's Day. President's Day is always a special holiday for me. I was younger. My grandmother used to made me memorize the presidents in the order. Now, you know, the long time ago, because I first started remembering them when it was the 39th president. Now, that should be that hard, right? So, yeah, long time ago. So, actually, it might have been the 38th president. 39. So love President's Day. Used to be for Lincoln and Washington, but now call it all the presidents. You know, a lot of them don't deserve it. That's a whole nother story for a whole nother matter entirely. All right, well, gotta talk about the All-Star break. We're going to get back to college basketball. You know what time it almost is. It's almost March. Y'all are almost be sick of college basketball for the next couple of weeks. But, again, all basketball today. And remember, in March, you know, you got, you know, NFL free agent stuff. You're going to have a baseball training camp starting up. Well, actually, a pitcher and catcher will be going out there soon. And then, you know, we'll be inundated with stuff, the NBA playoffs, so on. So, just NBA today, though. So, got to talk about the All-Star weekend. Hey, Saturday night, one heck of a night. I shouldn't totally dismiss Friday, the Rising Stars game, but it's not like I liked it better when it was just the rookie playing the second-year players kind of ish. It kind of messed it up for me. Again, the East versus the West. I don't know why they, you know, make it so difficult, but they do. And so the Rising Stars, it was okay. But it really got started up on All-Star Saturday. Oh, man, did they get it going. You had the skills competition. Now, everybody, now y'all thought that Isaiah Thomas was going to win that. You can't doubt that. The perfect score when going against C.J. McCollum. But it was the big fella, Karl Anthony Towns, winning the skills contest. Got everybody excited. Hey, the big man can win this stuff. And they did. And he did win the skills contest against Isaiah Thomas. Then you had a three-point contest. I mean, I know everybody was in it, but everybody was looking at two, and those two were the last two out there. The Splash Brothers, Stephen Curry. Well, I said Stephen. Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson, and this time Klay Thompson came home with the hardware. Man, the dunk contest. We've been waiting for a deep dunk contest since 2000. I mean, nothing but 50s from Vince Carter, and people forget how good Steve Francis was that night. He was unbelievable, but he had no shot against Ben Sanity. Well, this time, he had almost the same thing. We had two dudes that people might have to scratch their head because Vince Carter and Steve Francis, they were big-time names. These dudes, you have to actually be in the NBA to know these guys. I mean, Zach LaVine, where did he go to college? Aaron Gordon, where did he go to college? Okay, give me a hint, Pac-12. Anyway, Zach LaVine comes up with double 50 in the finals, took out Aaron Gordon, and Zach LaVine won back-to-back contest. Then go to Sunday All-Star Game. well, it might as well be called NBA All-Star Game, a.k.a. Kobe Love Fest. They were giving Kobe had a tribute for the game, yeah, like Jordan thought. Johnson, all the people talking all about him all the time, and he thoroughly enjoyed himself. The players were giving him love. So all of them, not one of them did not give him some love. So Paul George, you had LeBron James, you had Kevin Durant, you had them all out there. And it was the highest scoring All-Star game ever, 196 to 173. You had another back-to-back. Russell Westbrook, man, he was trying to hurt the rim again. With all the dunks he was throwing down, it was kind of messily. and Westbrook just did his thing. 31 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. This Paul George, he really did his thing in a losing effort. 41 points. He was 1 point away from breaking Jordan. He said in 1988. But again, 196, 173, you know how much that's going on the West. They scored a putrid 40 points in the first quarter. That was the lowest scoring quarter of anybody of all night. After that, they didn't go below 50 in any quarter. Just a scoring montage out there. There, and Russell Westbrook, again, back-to-back MVP, the first ones, one of the few, first ever back-to-back MVP. We had plenty of them who won, too. Oh, they won back-to-back. Interesting side piece there. All right, well, now we got through the weekend. Got to talk about the Western Conference. He almost needs to do away with the Eastern Conference because of all the great basketball. Then the Western Conference, I mean, all of it. Love it. You got three teams with 40 or more wins before the All-Star break. Well, we know the top team in the East is Cleveland. They have 38 wins. So that means the top three teams in the NBA, that's right, in the Western Conference. We'll talk about them in a little bit. And, again, we'll do the same similar format, top two scores on the team. Got some trade bait. Who can they throw out there to help them with some trade? First of all, I don't really know what to say about the Golden State Warriors. They're 48-4. They're embarrassed in the league. They have the greatest start in the first half in NBA history. They got out to the greatest start in NBA history. They have been absolutely phenomenal from day one, and this year, people can't cry about injuries. They have been injured this year. Steph Curry pretty much has already won the MVP. He averaging just under 30 points a game, over 5 rebounds a game, and just under 7 assists a game. He is the MVP. It's not even close who's second out there. Maybe Kawhi Leonard, maybe LeBron James, but it doesn't really matter. He is by himself in the MVP race. Number two guy, Klay Thompson. He is ignored. He scores over 21 points a game, 4 rebounds a game, throws 2 assists a game, but hey, that's not his job. Again, 2 of the best 3-point shooters. I don't even think there's arguably 2 better shooters in the league. I just think they're the 2 best. I know I'll be talking about the best 3-point shooter league on the next team, but those are the 2 best in the league. As for trade possibilities, I wouldn't touch a thing with this team. They are so loaded. Matter of fact, their problem is going to be this summer. Harrison Barnes becomes the strictest free agent that you can believe. People are going to try to break this team up quick, fast, and in a hurry. And because Harrison Barnes got heck of glued myself, think he has star talent, just not going to be to stay within the flow of the team on the Warriors. Number two, the San Antonio Spurs. Almost any other year, they would be running away with 45-8 and they aren't near first place. An unbelievable start by the Spurs. They are led by Kawhi Leonard, over 20 points a game, 107 rebounds a game, 2.5 assists a game, and the best defensive player in the league. That's been fantastic. LaMarcus Aldridge, he's the number two guy, and he has been really good at it. 17 points a game, over 8 rebounds a game. He has been that number two guy. He has been consistent there. Duncan gets to take breaks, even injury breaks, take off games. Games bring him back during the stretch run in the playoffs. They want the defense out there. But LaMarcus Aldridge has been fine. Same thing with San Antonio. Wouldn't touch this team in the least. 45-8. They have been perfect at home. They have both been remarkable, the Warriors and the San Antonio. But that is not to ignore Oklahoma City, 40-14. Their year, they would be well ahead of everybody, and they're third in the Western Conference. They are led by Durantula, Kevin Durant, under 28 points a game, 27.7, right under 8 rebounds a game. He gets 4.5 assists a game. He does his thing. Russell Westbrook, he is simply taking versatility to a whole different level. Level 24, right over 24 points a game, under 8 rebounds a game, 7 rebounds a game. He averages in height from the league deals all fees over there, Oklahoma City. The interesting thing of Oklahoma City, I wouldn't touch that team necessarily height. So they have a lot of what they need. But in my opinion, they need that third guy. They need that third. They need, in my opinion, a taller ball handling type of guy. To handle the ball when, and to be able to shoot the ball, and not taking anything away from Westbrook, but Westbrook, know what Westbrook. They need a guy just a knockdown 3-point shooter. They don't have one. But, well, Morrow is a good one, but that would help. But we know Oklahoma City's issue defensively. They don't have a rim protector. Adam sometimes looks like he's going to get there, but he hasn't got there yet. L.A. Clippers, they're number 4 at 35-18. The main man is Chris Paul. I'll get to that in a second. I know you Clipper fans are scratching your heads right now. Chris Paul, averaging over 19 a game, just under 4 rebounds a game, averages over 9 assists. I know you Clipper fans scratching your head to number 1 and not Blake Griffin. I know Blake Griffin averages over 20 a game. I know Blake Griffin is right under 9 rebounds a game. I even know that Blake Griffin throws 5 assists a game. The fact of the matter is he got injured, and that's when the Clippers won. They are 35-18. Because of what they have done in Griffin's absence. That is a big deal. And I don't think that can be understated enough. I think that they have really got to figure out if they're going to keep Griffin, if they're going to play Griffin. The incident he had with the leadership skills right there, there being that, one, it's a friend, two, as a leader on the team, you lose your cool like that. So we'll see how the Clippers go. Also with them, I really wouldn't touch the team that much. They got a lot of good stuff on the bench. Still waiting for Austin Rivers to come around, but how much do you really need to turn around and catch this ball up there doing the thing? He should be soaking that up a bunch. Number 5. The Memphis Grizzlies, they are 31-22. They are a really good team. And they're number 5, Paul Gasol. So he's under 17 points a game, 7 rebounds a game, right under 4 assists a game. Then you have Mike Conley, just under 15 points a game, 3 rebounds a game, just over 6 assists a game. And it's the same group, and they haven't really made too many moves. They still have Gasol. They still have Conley. They still have Zach Randolph. And they added Courtney Lee a couple years ago. But in my opinion, Courtney Lee might need to go. I think that's the guy that would really help them. And if you look on the Memphis roster, what they need more than anything else is perimeter shooting. Now, I do understand that that Courtney Lee, the 37% shooting three. I get all of that. I got it. I really do. But the fact of the matter is that they have dudes that can shoot three. That ain't you're them starting two guards and you're scoring 10 points a game. What type of NBA is this? Centers don't score. The guards don't score. Who the heck scores out here? You know, I would really be looking at Jordan Adams a lot more. We already know Tony Allen played because of defense, and he scores almost 7 points a game, and he's a defensive top. Why doesn't he get the majority of it? And it's, we know he starts. Just a lot of questions for Memphis there. See what they do in the meantime. The Dallas Mavericks, they're 29-26. I don't know how they're doing it. I mean, if it was up to me, Rick Carlisle would be getting serious coach of the year opportunity. Remember, they had DeAndre Jordan at the beginning of the year. They lost DeAndre Jordan. They thought they were going to fall apart. Look at the roster. You're like, what is this? Dirk Nowitzki, ill. He's old. Darren Williams, he's old. Chandler Parsons, overpaid. Wesley Matthews was the free agent signing. Overpaid, even though people talk about his Achilles. They say he's overpaid. You got Raymond Felton over the hill or never was. They just keep on piling on negative stuff when it comes to the Mavericks, and yet they're 29-26. Dirk Nowitzki under 18 points a game, under 7 rebounds a game, and right under 2 assists a game, but he has really shown a ton of leadership this year. Darren Williams, 14 points a game, 3 rebounds a game, just under 3 rebounds a game, and over 5 or 6 a game. It was a guy that let go. It's getting enough. It might be Darren, not Devin Harris. Just has never come around to, remember, he was number 5 pick in the draft. I think people get that. And now he's over there. He started a game this year. And, you know, Williams is starting. Belton is starting. J.J. Barea is starting. Devin Harris has. Well, I mean, Darren Harris is aggressive. And we'll see if that will happen. Portland Trailblazers. Their guard combination totally gets ignored all the time, but they're not going to get ignored today. Damon Lillard, over 24 points a game, over 4 rebounds a game, and over 7 assists a game. You talk about a point guard. Two nights. Yeah. He gets it done. And then right after that T.J. McCollum. Just under 21 points a game. He gets under 4 rebounds a game. He gets over 4 assists a game. Problem is just, you know, those two in tandem, they are eight. Gotta give him credit, man. Really gotta give him credit. They're 27-27. They lost LaMarcus Aldridge. People said that was the end of them. And they've had a lot of big dudes to try to take a lot of the slack in terms of Mason Plumlee and Myles Leonard. Ed Davis has been solid. And hey, gotta give Portland a lot of credit for their run that they made. The number 8 team right now, Utah Jazz. Ooh-wee. Wait till we get on number 9. I know I'm going to hear it. Wait till I get to number 9. The Utah Jazz, they're 26-26. Gordon Hayward, right under 20 points a game. He's over 5 rebounds a game. Right under 4 rebounds. Right under 4. A 2 guy, Derek Favors. If he could stay healthy, man, it would be different. Utah would have a better record than they have now. 16.6 points a game. 8.5 rebounds a game, 1.5 assists a game. And again, if they would have had a Derek Favors help, boy, this Utah Jazz team would be a lot different. Thing about them, that they have a glut of shooting guards. I mean, they got so many of them. You're like, wow, what is going on here? Here you got why am I missing the name? But you have Rodney Hood. There we go. Good grief. Got Rodney Hood out there along with Alex Burks, who was injured this year here, and Elijah Millsap, who I think eventually will become a player. And now Rodney Hood is flourishing. You know, Rodney Hood is probably the third best player on the team. And so Alex Burks, what role does he have? So to me, that's the dude that would be on the trade block if it was me. And, hey, Utah, they need to be commended. They have a solid team right now. And I think they are really going to make some noise. Stay together. That'll be the key. We know Derek Favors. Those dollars are going to start talking in a little while. Number 19. That means you're out of the playoffs. Houston Rockets, 27-28. Boy, it has been up and down with them all year long. We'll talk about that in just a second. James Harden, I mean, he's had phenomenal numbers. And then you have Dwight Howard. 14.6 points a game, 12 rebounds a game, and 1.5 assists. All right, let's see, ladies and gentlemen. Houston Rockets. I'm not going to say they're the disappointment of the season, but if they aren't, it's going to take long to call roll. Both Harden and Howard have been talked about in trade talk. But the fact of the matter is, why don't we talk about the rest of the Rockets? I mean, where are they? First of all, the big trade. It's a big trade to get Ty Lawson. Talk about this. Lawson has only started 12 games this year. Here, actually, Beverly's the one starting games at 36 starts this season. We have Clint Capella on the team who has started more than double, almost triple the amount of games of Ty Lawson. Well, what was he brought there for? You have you have Terrence Jones, who was consistently good, but you won't play him because he's not big enough, okay. So now you devalue. You come up and you have Trevor Ariza out there, but now you're trying to start, you're trying to get different lineups every night. You fired Kevin McHale, which I think was a mistake. Hey, I don't mind Bickerstaff getting the job. Everybody deserves chances, but the fact is, Rockets have not been what people have thought they were going to be this year. To me, Dwight Howard is the one. I told y'all when they signed him, Houston's not going to like him. They do not. Number 10 team. Ooh, I don't know how they do it every year. Sacramento Kings, they're 24-30. Deal is Marcus Cousins. He's right under 27 points a game. He gets over 11 rebounds a game, 3.2 assists a game. Number two guy, Rudy Gay, right under 8 points a game. Almost 7 rebounds a game, 1.7 assists a game. You know, they have a lot of talent, but again, they got the same a lot of people. They don't have a shooting guard. Somebody tell me how we have Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan around nowadays, but we don't have shooting guards like before. That's beyond the pale to me. But that's the case. And so without that, in other areas, when teams double Cousins, where do they go? Darren Collison's had a really good season coming off the bench. Bench at times, you know, he's a scorer when Rondo's on the bench. Kings should be a lot better than what they are. Number 11, Denver Nuggets. 22-32. I'm actually impressed with them being at that record. They don't have much out there. Danilo Gallinari is their main man. He is right on 20 points a game. He gets over 5 rebounds a game and almost 3 assists a game. Then you have the surprise, one of the surprises of the league, Will Bart game. He gets 6 boards a night and over 2 assists a game. But their main deal is they have got to find, like most, they've got to find a shooting guard, even though I think that could be Bart. But he plays ball four, but I think Bart should become the shooting guard. Therefore, what do you do with Gary Harris? Gary Harris, shooting guard. That's one guy right there. J.J. Hickson off the bench. He has major value. I even think Randy Fool has value for the Bronx, for the Nuggets to roll on. Number 12, the New Orleans Pelicans. Hey. Anthony Davis, over 23 points a game, 10 rebounds a game, 1.9 assists, and Ryan Anderson, under 17 points a game, right under 6 rebounds a game, 1.1 assists. Again, a talented team, but they've been ravaged with injury, lost Tariq Evans this season. Eric Gordon, he's been injured on and off, and they just faltered there. Number 13, the Minnesota Timberwolves, 17-37. Andrew Wiggins, under 21 points a game, under 4 rebounds a game, and right under 2 assists a game. Then you got one rookie out here, Karl Anthony Towns, 17 points a game, 10 rebounds a game, 1.4 assists a game. Minnesota, hey, they have built around Wiggins and Towns. I think it's time to call in the dogs on Ricky Rubio. And then you have the Phoenix Suns, 14-40. Eric Bledsoe, he's injured. So the number one dude now is Brandon Knight. 20 points a game, 4 rebounds a game, and 5 assists. I think Eric Bledsoe needs to go. They got too many point guards. All their resources are in their point guards. They got 2 high-profile point guards, and to me, they need to let Bledsoe go. All right, now, you notice I did not talk about the Lakers. We'll talk about the Lakers on Thursday extensively. And so, until then, toodaloo, and bye-bye. Mm-hmm.